About 900 miles west of the position of the Victoria is the town of Attalia, Asia Minor. At about the time of the observation reported by the captain of the Victoria, the Reverend F. Hallett, FRAS, was in Attalia. He, too, saw this spectacle, and sent an account to Professor Baden-Powell. In his view it was a body that appeared and then broke up. He places duration at 20 minutes to half an hour. In the report of the British Association, 1860-82, the phenomenon was reported from Syria and Malta, as two very large bodies nearly joined. Report. Brit. Association, 1860-77. That, at Cherbourg, France, January 12, 1836, was seen a luminous body, seemingly two-thirds the size of the moon. It seemed to rotate on an axis. Central to it there seemed to be a dark cavity. Four other accounts, all indefinite, but distortable into data of wheel-like objects in the sky, see Nature, 22-617, London Times, October 15, 1859, Nature, 21-225, Monthly Weather Review, 1883-264. El Astronomy, 1894-157. That, upon the morning of December 20, 1893, an appearance in the sky was seen by many persons in Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. A luminous body passed overhead, from west to east, until at about 15 degrees in the eastern horizon, it appeared to stand still for 15 or 20 minutes. According to some descriptions, it was the size of a table. To some observers, it looked like an enormous wheel. The light was a brilliant white. Acceptably, it was not an optical illusion. The noise of its passage through the air was heard. Having been stationary, or having seemed to stand still 15 or 20 minutes, it disappeared, or exploded. No sound of explosion was heard. Vast wheel-like constructions. They're especially adapted to roll through a gelatinous medium from planet to planet. Sometimes, because of miscalculations, or because of stresses of various kinds, they enter this Earth's atmosphere. They're likely to explode. They have to submerge in the sea. They stay in the sea a while, revolving with relative leisureliness, until relieved, and then emerge, sometimes close to vessels. Seamen tell of what they see, their reports are interred in scientific morgues. I should say that the general route of these constructions is along latitudes not far from the latitudes of the Persian Gulf. Journal of the Royal Meteorological Society, 28-29. That, upon April 4, 1901, about 8:30, in the Persian Gulf, Captain Hosezin, of the steamship Kilway, according to a paper read before the Society by Captain Hosezin, was sailing in a sea in which there was no phosphorescence, there being no phosphor sense in the water. I suppose I'll have to repeat that. There being no phosphorescence in the water. Vast shafts of light, though the captain uses the word ripple, suddenly appeared. Shaft followed shaft, upon the surface of the sea. But it was only a faint light, and, in about 15 minutes, died out, having appeared suddenly, having died out gradually. The shafts revolved at a velocity of about 60 miles an hour. Phosphorescent jellyfish correlate with the old dominant. In one of the most heroic compositions of disregards in our experience, it was agreed, in the discussion of Capt. Hosezin's paper, that the phenomenon was probably pulsations of long strings of jellyfish. Nature, 21-410. Reprint of a letter from R. E. Harris, commander of the AHN Co.S. steamship Shahjahan, to the Calcutta Englishman, January 21, 1880. That upon the 5th of June, 1880, off the coast of Malabar, at 10 p.m., water calm, sky cloudless, he had seen something that was so foreign to anything that he had ever seen before, that he had stopped his ship. He saw what he describes as waves of brilliant light, with spaces between. Upon the water were floating patches of a substance that was not identified. Thinking in terms of the conventional explanation of all phosphorescence at sea, the captain at first suspected the substance. However, he gives his opinion that it did no illuminating but was, with the rest of the sea, illuminated by tremendous shafts of light. Whether it was a thick and oily discharge from the engine of a submerged construction or not, I think that I shall have to accept the substance as a concomitant, because of another note. As wave succeeded wave, one of the most grand and brilliant, yet solemn, spectacles that one could think of, was here witnessed. Jour. Roy. Met. SOC, 32-280. Extract from a letter from Mr. Douglas Carnegie, Blackheath, England. Date sometime in 1906. This last voyage we witnessed a weird and most extraordinary electric display. In the Gulf of Oman, he saw a bank of apparently quiescent phosphorescence, but, when within 20 yards of it, shafts of brilliant light came sweeping across the ship's bows at a prodigious speed, which might be put down as anything between 60 and 200 miles an hour. These light bars were about 20 feet apart and most regular. As to phosphorescence, I collected a bucketful of water, and examined it under the microscope, but could not detect anything abnormal. That the shafts of light came up from something beneath the surface, they first struck us on our broadside, and I noticed that an intervening ship had no effect on the light beams. They started away from the lee side of the ship, just as if they had traveled right through it. The Gulf of Oman is at the entrance to the Persian Gulf. Jour. Roy. Met. SOC, 33-294. Extract from a letter by Mr. S.C. Patterson, second officer of the P&O steamship Delta, a spectacle which the journal continues to call phosphorescent. Malacca Strait, 2 a.m., March 14, 1907. Shafts which seemed to move round a center like the spokes of a wheel and appeared to be about 300 yards long. The phenomenon lasted about half an hour, during which time the ship had traveled 6 or 7 miles. It stopped suddenly. L. Astronomy, 1891-312. A correspondent writes that, in October, 1891, in the China Sea, he had seen shafts or lances of light that had had the appearance of rays of a searchlight, and that had moved like such rays. Nature, 20-291. Report to the Admiralty by Capt. Evans, the hydrographer of the British Navy. That Commander J. E. Pringle, of HMS Vulture, had reported that, at lat 26 degrees 26 minutes N, and long 53 degrees 11 minutes E in the Persian Gulf May 15, 1879, he had noticed luminous waves or pulsations in the water, moving at great speed. This time we have a definite datum upon origin somewhere below the surface. It is said that these waves of light passed under the Vulture. On looking toward the east, the appearance was that of a revolving wheel with a center on that bearing, and whose spokes were illuminated, and, looking toward the west, a similar wheel appeared to be revolving, but in the opposite direction. Or finally, as to submergence, these waves of light extended from the surface well under the water. It is Commander Pringle's opinion that the shafts constituted one wheel, and that doubling was an illusion. He judges the shafts to have been about 25 feet broad, and the spaces about 100. Velocity about 84 miles an hour. Duration about 35 minutes. Time 9:40 p.m. Before and after this display, the ship had passed through patches of floating substance described as oily-looking fish spawn. Upon page 428 of this number of Nature, E. L. Moss says that, in April, 1875, when upon HMS Bulldog, a few miles north of Veracruz, he had seen a series of swift lines of light. He had dipped up some of the water, finding in it animalcule, which would, however, not account for phenomena of geometric formation and high velocity. If he means Veracruz, Mexico, this is the only instance we have out of Oriental waters. Scientific American, 106-51. That, in the Nautical Meteorological Annual, published by the Danish Meteorological Institute, appears a report upon a singular phenomenon that was seen by Captain Gabe of the Danish East Asiatic Coast steamship Bintang. At 3 a.m., June 10, 1909, while sailing through the Straits of Malacca, Captain Gabe saw a vast revolving wheel of light, flat upon the water, long arms issuing from a center around which the whole system appeared to rotate. So vast was the appearance that only half of it could be seen at a time, the center lying near the horizon. This display lasted about 15 minutes. Heretofore we have not been clear upon the important point that forward motions of these wheels do not synchronize with a vessel's motions, and freaks of disregard, or, rather, commonplaces of disregard, might attempt to assimilate with lights of a vessel. This time we are told that the vast wheel moved forward, decreasing in brilliancy, and also in speed of rotation, disappearing when the center was right ahead of the vessel, or my own interpretation would be that the source of light was submerging deeper and deeper and slowing down because meeting more and more resistance. The Danish Meteorological Institute reports another instance that, when Captain Breyer, of the Dutch steamer Valentijn, was in the South China Sea, midnight, August 12, 1910, he saw a rotation of flashes. It looked like a horizontal wheel, turning rapidly. This time it is said that the appearance was above water. The phenomenon was observed by the captain, the first and second mates, and the first engineer, and upon all of them it made a somewhat uncomfortable impression. In general, if our expression be not immediately acceptable, we recommend to rival interpreters that they consider the localization, with one exception, of this phenomenon, to the Indian Ocean and adjacent waters, or Persian Gulf on one side and China Sea on the other side. Though we're intermediatists, the call of attempted positivism, in the aspect of completeness, is irresistible. We have expressed that from few aspects would wheels of fire in the air look like wheels of fire, but, if we can get it, we must have observation upon vast luminous wheels, not interpretable as optical illusions, but enormous, substantial things that have smashed down material resistances, and have been seen to plunge into the ocean.